In the mid-50s, two men knocked over a kerosene stove during a fight at a concert. After fleeing the blaze, the guitar player realized he left his beloved Gibson inside. B.B. King then ran in and saved it. He later learned that the fight was over a woman named Lucille, and ever since, his guitars have borne that name. You can find Lucille at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Stevens Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred here in Little Stevens Underground Garage, and it's time for your coolest conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and review. Joining me today is Travis Smith, the bass player in the Philadelphia-based band Soraya. He and lead singer Zuzu Mansour are the group's principal songwriters, and together they're responsible for our recent coolest song in the world, Secret Medicine. That's off the band's latest full-length. It's called Bloom, and available now from Wicked Cool Records. We'll give some of Secret Medicine a listen, and then I'll be back on the line with Travis Smith for your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Stevens Underground Garage. Manfred here with you in Little Stevens Underground Garage, and our guest for today's Coolest Conversations is Travis Smith, bass player in Philadelphia's Soraya. The band's got a new album out now on Wicked Cool Records, Bloom, and it features this week's coolest song in the world, Secret Medicine. How are you, Travis?
I'm doing good, Manfred. Good to talk to you.
Well, thanks. Well, you know, we spoke, man, I guess it was about 5 years ago now. I remember us talking about some of Soraya's early days, but I don't recall us talking much about your own background. We know the band is based in Philadelphia. Where are you from originally?
I grew up in Northeast Philadelphia, and I'm living in Roxborough area right now in Philadelphia.
Wow, so you are homegrown.
I am a Philly born and raised, yeah.
So you could, if I had any questions about Philly cheesesteaks, you could answer those for me.
Ooh, that's a hot topic though. That's a very subjective thing.
But you could be my guide, right? You could take me to wherever. You could say this
is... I could try. You know, my favorite cheesesteak place in Philly to take people from out of town that want like a real Philly experience.
Yeah.
Usually, you know, down South Philly, there's Pat's and Gino's, and those are like the famous ones. Mm-hmm. I steer clear of them though, personally. I like going to Max's on Germantown and Broad because I feel like, you know, it's always something weird happening there. I've seen people set up shop and they were selling cologne inside the cheesesteak restaurant. I've seen a guy come through with a bunch of cages of live turtles. You get definitely a little bit more unique experience there. And you kind of have to like roll in there at like maybe like 2 or 3 a.m. to really get the full full experience of it.
Very cool. Well, that's where we're going, man. That's where we're headed. So I know you play bass in Soraya. Is that the instrument you started out on?
Yeah, I think more or less I started out guitar and bass at the same time. I've dabbled in drums a little bit. I'm not a great drummer. I can play keys a little bit. I'm always just trying to dabble and just have fun with new things. And I feel like when you approach a new instrument, you have a different approach with it. And so I like to try and write on different instruments because you get different results that way.
Okay, so you're used to playing on different instruments and you're sort of like pushing yourself musically. Was there, in your home when you were growing up, was sort of a musical family, or was there music in the home, or?
A little bit. My family is actually a lot more visual artists, like painters, illustrators, even stained glass artists. And so I guess that was my rebellion, is I did a lateral movement into music instead of so much visual art.
Was there any, like, one moment, one sort of epiphany, some event that happened that got you wanting to pursue music, wanting to rock?
You know, that's a tough one. I mean, I feel like I've been around music as long as I can remember. And when I was really little, my mom was great. She would take me to all kinds of concerts and events, and even just like, you know, parties that she would go to, she'd bring me along and there would be like a live band playing, or mm-hmm. just like, you know, a circle of people kind of jamming or something like that. And so it's, you know, I feel like there's never been a time in my life when I wasn't around music.
Were you playing in bands in high school?
A little bit, yeah. None of them were any good, but we were having fun. We were doing weird stuff with it, you know. I think there was that kind of like teenage experimentation and seeing how weird and fringe we could be.
So were you in those bands? Was it sort of like punk kind of stuff that you were trying to do, or what was it?
You could say that. Yeah. There was some punk, some metal. Even some rockabilly, because I remember when I was about 15 or 16, me and some of my friends discovered the Cramps. And for me, that was like a major life event.
Very cool. Did you see the Cramps much when they were touring?
I only got to see them once. And a couple years after that, Lux died. And that was that.
Yeah.
But that was one of the best concerts I ever went to, was seeing the Cramps at the old Trocadero in Philadelphia.
Oh, right, the Trocadero. So I never played the Trocadero, but I'm familiar with its...
Yeah, it was an old burlesque and vaudeville theater, and it was just beautiful in there. So it was a very cool kind of juxtaposition.
Is the theater still there?
Unfortunately, no. I mean, the building is still there. It's not a venue anymore. It's just vacant and closed down for now.
So when you finished up high school, did you go to college anywhere or start college anywhere?
Not so much. I mean, I didn't really have much of a life plan. So I did 1 year of community college. I didn't even have a major. That was just a way for me to still kind of hang around some of my friends and still keep, you know, partying and hanging out and stuff like that.
What got you? Because, I mean, well, how did Soraya form then? Were you in some bands before that was put together, or?
I was, yeah. I was in a few bands, you know, when I was younger that, you know, again, we were just having fun. And Zuzu had been doing Soraya kind of like, you know, she started out doing mostly open mics and things like that, I think. Mm-hmm. So eventually we linked up and we both kind of, I think, started taking it all a little bit more seriously and really like giving it a go. And so, you know, the first time that we hit the road and like traveled to other towns and stuff like that, I was like 19 years old, you know? So I was just having a blast to, you know, leave my little area and just go, you know, see some other parts of the country and play music and meet new people and stuff like that.
Well, the year I have in my mind is 2005, but maybe that's when you guys put out your first like EP. When did the band actually begin?
I think that sounds about right, around 2005. I'm terrible with dates and remembering stuff like that, but that sounds about right.
And so you were there with her right at the beginning.
Yeah.
Right. And so you guys have been at this for a while, and anybody that's been in a band for a while, one thing you typically have to deal with is a turnover with other members, and that can be really hard. I know, you know, as recent as the 2020 album, Dig Your Roots, that Mike Reisman was the lead guitar player at that point, and you've had a couple of guitar players since then, even. And, you know, before that, other members have turned over. I know Brianna, your drummer's been there for a number of years now. But how do you deal with the turnover?
It's a little rough. You know, we have a little bit of a revolving door going on. And it is rough because you don't get the kind of stability that would be nice, you know. But what we've been doing is, you know, I compose the music, basically. I play guitar, too. So we've just lately been having, like, we have the songs written. We have them recorded. When we go out on tour, that's the main thing. So we'll find somebody that, you know, wants to go out and tour for a little while, come with us, you know, and it's kind of more of like a tour by tour basis at this point.
Yeah. I think that's interesting too, because, you know, it's like there's this band originally from Auburn, Alabama, Man or Astro Man, an instrumental band. And, you know, the instrumental band, and yet the players that kept turning over in the band were the guitarists.
Right.
Which seems bizarre. I mean, the band was being driven mainly by the drummer and this and this other guy that would handle the samples and sometimes play bass.
Yeah.
Kind of the core of the group. And yet, you know, they've since, they were very active for a long time and then went a kind of a hiatus and are active again. But so it is certainly possible. Who is the guitarist now? Who is the tour, let's say, the touring guitarist in the band currently?
So these last tours we did and the upcoming ones, we have Mike Jaffe from New Jersey, who is a buddy of ours. And, you know, he's been great to work with and, you know, super easy to get along with and to go on tour with and everything like that. So it's been good.
But he does not play on Bloom, though.
No.
No. So my notes say that Mike Dudalovich plays on this, our coolest song in the world this week, Secret Medicine.
That's right.
Right. And he was in the Nuclears. And
yeah,
band
he was in
from
the
DC, and then they kind of moved to New York for a while. Does he play on the whole album?
Yeah, he plays guitar on, I believe, the whole album. Yeah, he's from the Nuclears. He's a New York guy. So he was local to the studio, the Wicked Cool studio. And he's got his band Baez going on right now.
My understanding is that you needed somebody to go on tour. He was familiar with having played with you guys before, enjoyed the band, and said, yeah, you know, I want to do this. But as he did that, it was understood that this would be for just a limited time. Is that it or not?
Yeah. You know, Mike is our buddy. He's been our buddy for a while now, because Soraya and the Nuclears played a bunch of shows together over the years. So we kind of became friends with all those guys. And unfortunately, the Nuclears kind of hit a point where they weren't really going to continue anymore.
Yeah.
And so Mike just kind of like threw it out there. Like, if we ever were looking for somebody to, you know, play some shows or go on tour or whatever, he'd love to do it. And so it was kind of a very organic and natural choice, because, you know, we knew he was a great player. We knew we got along with him really well. So it just made a lot of sense. And so he was playing with us when it came time to record Bloom. And so it just kind of became a natural choice that we would have him. You know, he already knew the songs. We knew he was a great player. So, you know, it was very quick and easy that he came into the studio, laid down some guitar tracks, and, you know, the rest is history.
Good history. So
good history.
Yeah. And you mentioned how you and Zuzu are, you know, the songwriting team. Secret Medicine, our coolest song in the world this week. So I'm assuming she wrote the lyrics. Did you already have an idea for the music? How did this song kind of fall into place, the pieces?
Yeah. I think this is one where I came up with the riff and the music, and it was just kind of a rough sketch. And sometimes when I find something that I think could be good or that she might, you know, be into, I'll send it along to her. And I believe she said for this one, as soon as she heard the riff, it all just kind of came rushing into her. And so it was a very kind of like, I guess you could say, pulled from the ether or something like that. Yeah. But it kind of just, you know, it tends to kind of come together sometimes when we strike on something that, you know, we're both kind of tuned into the same wavelength for it.
Did you record Secret Medicine along with all the other tracks for Bloom? Was this all the like the same session, or was it recorded, you know, a couple of songs here, a couple of songs there?
Yeah, actually, the only song that we recorded on a different session that's on the record is Tight-Lipped. And that was a single that actually was the first song on this record that we wrote kind of a little while before the rest of them. It was our single on Wicked Cool. We have the cool bright pink and black splatter 7-inch vinyl that we released it on.
Yeah.
And so that kind of carried over into the rest of the record. But that's the one outlier. The rest of them, Secret Medicine, all the rest of them, they were all written within a few months and then all recorded at the same session and everything.
And this was with Jeff Sanoff there at Wicked Cool Studios. Yeah. Well, the new album features several of these previous coolest songs you mentioned. Tight-Lipped, there's also I Seek Fire, Hammer and the Anvil, and a couple of songs off the album we've been playing just to promote its upcoming release, including your version of the Kiss song Strutter, I think an original of yours called Jackson's Story. But one that we haven't spun yet and that closes out the album is called Mephistopheles. And it makes me wonder if you and Soraya have made any sort of Faustian bargain. Did you?
I can't speak for Zuzu, but I can say that, yes, I have.
Well, what inspired you guys to conjure up Mephistopheles?
That's another one where I wrote that actually on bass, which might be kind of unusual, but I was just kind of playing around, noodling around, and I always loved the sound of the 10th interval. Any musician people out there might know what I'm talking about. And if you're not sure, if you listen to Lou Reed's Walk on the Wild Side, that iconic bass line, he's just doing the root and the 10th above it. And I just love that sound. I don't know. So I've been, you know, messing around with that kind of thing. I struck into this riff that I just couldn't get out of my head. It kind of was a little bit like mesmerizing to me. And so I sent that along to Zuzu, as I do. And she had been, I think, at the same time reading Faust. Okay. And also, I think there was some movie or TV program that she was watching, and it all kind of tied in. And I was a little bit surprised. You know, I'm a little bit more into that kind of thing than she is.
Yeah.
So when she brought me this idea called Mephistopheles and explained the whole thing, because I love the Faust story and all that.
Yeah.
And so when she brought this to me, I was just like over the moon. I thought it was great, you know. So We spent a long time on that one, just, you know, honing it and crafting it just the way we wanted it. And I'm really happy with the way it turned out.
I am too. Well, you've been doing shows this week with a Swedish band, the contemporary garage rock band Stupidity.
Yeah.
Tonight, Friday night, you're in Berlin, playing in Berlin.
That's right.
Here in, there in New York City. And I know you've done shows with Stupidity overseas as well. Can you tell us some about your relationship? How do you know these folks, and how did you become buddies?
So, you know, we have kind of existed in the same realm, the same circuit, and Underground Garage is a big part of that, of bringing bands like us together. And so, it was actually a fan of ours in Sweden heard us on Underground Garage, really liked us, and just basically started bothering everybody he knew to help get us over there. And so Tommy and the rest of them from Sweden were a big part of that. And our mutual friend Pella out in Sweden, he helped us book shows. He helped us figure out all the logistics and even, you know, found us places to stay, helped drive us around. Oh. So, you know, without Pella and Tommy and Ludwig and all these people out there, we probably would have never made it out to Sweden. And, you know, I think we all had a great time. I love it out there. I love it so much. Every time I can't wait to go back.
Yeah, very cool. So that's Stupidity. Tommy's the drummer in Stupidity. Does Pella play in Stupidity as well?
No, Pella is more the behind the scenes kind of stuff. Okay. He works with them a little bit. He works a lot with the Diamond Dogs, who are a popular band in Sweden, and you know they do a lot of touring all over the place.
Did you guys cover a Diamond Dog song?
No, we covered a helicopter song last time we were out there. And actually, the singer and songwriter for the Diamond Dogs is named Sulo. Mm-hmm. And so the first time we went to Sweden, we covered a Sulo original, which is called Firebrand.
Okay, that's what I'm thinking of then. Tonight, you're performing at Berlin in New York City. We just talked about that. But you've also got like an upcoming record release show happening in your hometown of Philadelphia. When is that taking place?
Well, that's going to be Saturday, December 10th, and that's going to be at Kung Fu Necktie in Philadelphia.
Oh, very cool. Now, Stupidity will be back in Sweden by then, right?
Yeah, they're just coming and doing about a week or so along the East Coast.
Right. So what's the rest of that build, you know, for the December show?
That's going to be our friend Bobby Mahoney and I believe one other who I'm not sure is, I think it's still to be determined right now.
All right. So we're going to put that on the calendar. December, what is it? December the 10th?
Yeah.
Kung Fu Necktie. Get that right?
Yep.
Very cool.
That's right.
So new album Bloom out now on Wikicool Records, and it opens with the track Jokers, Thieves, and Liars. That's another one that you and Zuzu wrote together, correct?
Yep. Correct.
Right. Well, two things. Well, I have to ask too. What was the inspiration for this one?
You know, it started out we had a different title for it, and we ended up reworking it a little bit. You know, from my end, I just wanted something that was kind of high energy and fun, and you know, just a kind of cool garage rock tune.
Yeah.
And I really was. Tried hard to get this to be the opener for the record because I just loved the way it was like a high energy opening for it. You know, it's kind of a fun, like, you know, sing along opening.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of kicking the record off this way. So I'm glad that it panned out to be that way.
Well, I notice in these the notes, liner notes I'm provided, there's this guy playing guitar on it. I'm not familiar with him. And he's also on, I think, I Seek Fire and Mephistopheles. Steve LaFascia. How do you say his name?
Steve LaFascia.
LaFascia. So who is Steve?
So Steve's another buddy of ours. He's been around the Philly scene for a while. And we had him come in and do some of the live tracks with us in the studio. And that's before Mike came in and also did some more guitar stuff with us. So it was kind of a little bit of a takes a village to make a record kind of thing going on, I guess.
Well, cool. Travis, I want to thank you so much for joining me today on Our Coolest Conversations.
Thanks for having me, Manfred.
We're going to give a listen now to the opening track off Soraya's new album, Bloom. It's Jokers, Thieves, and Liars here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Jokers, Thieves, and Liars. That's Soraya off their latest album, Bloom, here in Little Steven's Underground Garage. That album available from Wicked Cool Records. I'm the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to Travis Smith for speaking with me today on Our Coolest Conversations. Thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. The UK's Mark Valentine fronts the long-running glam rock outfit called The Last Great Dreamers, and this year he's gone solo with his debut album, Future Obscure. He'll join us next time around to talk all about it on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Buddy, you're a boy. Make a big noise playing in the street. I'm gonna be a big man someday. You got mud on your face, you big disgrace. Kicking your can all over the place.
Some things are better when they rock. The Seminole Hard Rock Hotels and Casinos rock around the clock with nonstop casino action, rooms fit for the king, pools, spas, restaurants, and clubs for every taste and temptation. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa or Hollywood, Florida. We will rock you.